I'll march away to the firing line. Kill that Yankee soldier. I'll kill that Yankee soldier. I'll march away to the firing line and kill that Yankee soldier. Wife and child, farewell to my aged mother. Go and join in the bloody strife till this cruel war is over. Till this cruel war is over, I'll go and join in the bloody strife till this cruel war is over. Shot on the battlefield, and I should not recover. Oh, who will protect my wife and child? Care for my aged mother. Oh, care for my aged mother.
This is Miss Confederate coming to you today. I want to talk again about some of the heinous activity that continues to go on around the country and with regard to Confederate markers and monuments, memorials to the 750,000 dead Southern soldiers who served in the war, being drafted in April of 1863. And made to serve, 90% of whom did not own slaves. But today I want to talk to you about 1,616 of these Confederate dead located in one mass grave. And also to speak about the tale. This is a tale of three cemeteries, essentially. In Indianapolis, Indiana, there was a prisoner of war camp for Confederate soldiers. It was called Camp Morton. And in that particular POW camp, it is recorded that 9,000 Confederate soldiers were interred in its history. And during that time period, a number of those soldiers died. 1,616 of them died and were unknown soldiers. They did not know the names of all of these soldiers who perished in this camp. So the soldiers that died there were actually placed in a cemetery called Green Lawn Cemetery originally. From the beginning, it seems, they were not treated as normal human beings or normal United States members or normal fellow human beings, it seems like, even then, because while there was a cemetery which is called the Crown Hill National Cemetery, was established for the Union dead, as it reads on the website from the federal government, VA, this was established for the Union dead in Indianapolis that was listed on the National Register of Historic Places. The Crown Hill Cemetery was incorporated on September 25th of 1863. At that same time, the Crown Hill Cemetery is not the National Cemetery. As it states, the Crown Hill National Cemetery was established for the Union dead, while the Crown Hill Cemetery has a Confederate plot in Indianapolis. And so this is, from the very beginning, a very strange situation, because the Confederate dead were not even placed in the National Cemetery that was established at that point. So we find this interesting to begin with, that we have this distinction made in the replacing of dead soldiers. However, those Confederate dead who were there were given they listed their names, as many as they knew, and in 1912, the United States government actually decided to place a large 27-foot memorial marker there for these 1,616 dead soldiers. On that marker, it did list as many names as they knew. It was an impressive marker. But this was not the end. It turns out that shortly thereafter, in 1928, after they had erected that nice commemoration in 1912, in 1928, that cemetery closed. Excuse me, the original one was called Greenlawn, which was separated from the Crown Hill Cemetery. But they in 1928, the Greenlawn Cemetery closed, and the Confederate monument there that was marking the graves of 1,616 men was relocated away from those remains to the city's park called Garfield Park, named for to make it more visible to the public, it says. 5 years after that, the remains of the Confederate soldiers were then moved to this Crown Hill Cemetery, which is in a different location from where the marker was placed. The Crown Hill Cemetery is one that sits outside of the regular Crown Hill National Cemetery. So, again, from the very beginning, we had distinctions of soldiers and where they were buried, depending on who they were. And all the way up to 1928, five years after that, was when they moved these remains over. All the way up until that point, they were still distinguishing between the two groups by having a Confederate cemetery that was outside of the main cemetery. That was 1917, 5 years after they put up that original monument. They were still distinguishing between which cemeteries the soldiers were interred in. Now we come to the present time, and we have a new twist in the story. The Indianapolis Star reported in June of this past year on the sudden decision, it seems like, to remove the 27-foot tall marker that had been placed in Garfield Park. That original marker was the one to commemorate the 1,606 Confederate soldiers, POWs. The POWs were known to have died from starvation, sickness, and disease while they were in the camp, imprisoned at Camp Morton. And so they rightly tried to give them some type of commemoration, a memorial, knowing that this was a terrible situation, and so many lives were lost, and so many especially were anonymous. I mean, they didn't know who they were. But as it turns out, a group had come in later on, and they decided to, because they placed these Confederate soldiers, when they moved their bodies, they placed them in this outside of the Crown Hill National Cemetery called Crown Hill Cemetery. And they didn't put a nice inscription at that point. They put a 6-foot tall granite monument. The original one was 27 feet tall. This one was put up by the United States government, but it was a 6-foot tall granite monument erected on that site in 1933. And it read, very simply, "Remains of 1,616 unknown Confederate soldiers who died at Indianapolis while prisoners of war." That's it, folks. That's all it said. So, 60 years passed, And in 1993, there was some kind people in the local area who decided that they needed to do a little bit more than that. So they put some bronze tablets on in that cemetery where the 6 foot marker was put up, and it reads Confederate Mound. These Confederate soldiers and sailors died at Indianapolis while prisoners of war. They were transferred here from Greenlawn Cemetery in 1933 to rest eternal. A large monument to these dead now stands in Garfield Park, Indianapolis, Indiana. And in addition to that, there were 10 bronze tablets on granite bases that were placed nearby to contain the names of the Confederate dead who were believed to have been reinterred there. So the ones that they did know, they added their names. So they were trying to be more respectful of these poor soldiers. But as I say, the Indianapolis Star reports last June that a movement was made to once again see if there was a way to disenfranchise these poor soldiers for their heinous crimes of being in a POW camp and dying in their area. So the mayor decided that it was time for these soldiers to be moved. I mean, to have their marker, the 27-foot tall marker, moved. In the discussions of this, as reported in the newspaper, they wanted to say that it was the work of the KKK who decided that this 27-foot mark foot tall marker needed to be put into Garfield Park. I don't know why, where they get that information from, because I've not seen anything that can pinpoint any activities of the KKK in so doing that. From what I can see, it was just done, and because they moved the they closed down that cemetery, and they didn't, and no longer people would no longer see that inscription of all of any kind. So rather than going and creating a new one, they actually at that point they didn't even have the new marker on the United States cemetery plot that they created later, the 6 foot tall one. They didn't even have that on there. So it looks to me like all that was happening was that they were trying to move that marker somewhere else, and to where it could be seen, and since that cemetery was closed. However, it's being interpreted now in today's light as a movement of the KKK. Well, everything today is a movement of the KKK, no matter whether or not, I mean, anyone who cares about history of the South in any way, shape, or form is a KKK member now. We are all neo-Nazis. We are all, in fact, we are, some of us are actually supposedly Nazis, I guess. You know, Hitler followers. We are the scum of the earth. We are white supremacists, we are racist, we are, you name it, whatever's bad out there, that's what we are. And so this move to move that 27-foot marker into that Garfield Park in 1928, when that cemetery closed, in today's light of Black Lives Matter and Neo Black Panthers, et cetera, and the cancel culture, is all seen as a movement of the KKK. Of course it was, right, folks? It was the KKK that did it. Right, not respectful citizens who thought that it made sense to for them to remember those 1,616 men who did die there, that would so that they would not be forgotten. So what happened was the mayor, especially apparently, decided to take it upon himself and probably some other people. For example, I believe there was a senator from Indianapolis named Andre Carson or something to that effect. I didn't just spend a lot of time trying to remember his name, who decided that it was a great thing to get rid of this marker that's in Garfield Park. So That's what they did. Since last June, they have, within a few days, on June the 4th, the mayor announced that they were going to try to move that marker. They had plans to move it, and they didn't know how much it would cost. It cost quite a bit of money to move it. But they did. They moved the marker for 1,616 soldiers. And who knows where it is now, just like so many other markers. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of markers across the United States of America now that have been, especially in the South, of course, that have been moved somewhere. And in many cases, we don't even know where they are, where they have gone to. But how can people discount the lives of 1,600 men, especially who died in a POW camp? For what in the world could they have been doing to harm the United States while they were in that camp other than to starve to death? It might as well have been a concentration camp. There are many ways that we've heard of Andersonville. I began hearing about Andersonville when I was just a child, and I was too stupid to understand there what they were trying to do. I read the book about Andersonville. I was shocked, like anyone who heard about Andersonville, at the horrible treatment of the people who were in that camp. These were Union soldiers that were interred outside of near Atlanta. And, of course, it was a horrible situation, and even more horrible if you were a Union soldier in a POW camp than it would have been probably if you were a Confederate soldier in a Union camp, because the Union had blockaded the entire South, and the residents were in many areas starving to death, and essentially, and even especially, the soldiers were on the road. In Richmond, there were bread riots by women who were desperate for food for their families, to show you how bad it was. So when the South was starving, it's certain that the POWs in the camp in Andersonville, POW camp near in Georgia, were starving. No doubt they were starving too. But as it's reported, the ones in Indianapolis and Camp Morton also were starving. This was a Union POW camp. So it said many of them died of starvation. These words come straight off the VA website from the government. They're not placed there by me or by anybody else. That being said, we await books and movies about Union POW camps to inflame us the way the book about Andersonville and the movie about Andersonville did provoke the people against the South at that time. For many Southern soldiers perished in Union camps. In this case, of the hundreds and hundreds of monuments and markers that have been removed, this one is especially heinous. They're all heinous. Every one of them is heinous. All of them strike out against people who are no longer around to even defend themselves. All of them strike out against drafted soldiers, for they were drafted in April of 1863, which is only about a year after the war started. The first draft of the United States of America was the Confederate Conscription Act. And they were drafted at gunpoint. Proclamations were sent out before Gettysburg. At least I know they were in the state I'm familiar with, which is North Carolina, which stated that men who were outside of their camps were to be shot at on sight and to be turned in by their brothers and their fathers. And they were shot. They were executed. And we know that. So to say that memorials to dead soldiers who were drafted and forced to serve, 90% of whom did not own slaves, because most of the slaves in America in the South were owned by rich people, plantation owners who needed them in large capacity. They were brought here from England. I mean, England established the colonies to, just like any other empire that it owned, to enhance its own wealth, essentially. And in so doing, they established governors here in this country before we had the United States. And before we rose up against them, they established rich governors here with the intention of bringing back cheap goods. And the way they did that, in many cases, was through slavery. So these rich colonial governors and the rich plantation owners that were established in that time period were the main seat of the slavery in America. At the same time, there were scores and scores and scores and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, especially Southerners of whom I'm aware, who came here in groups from persecution, from the Catholic Church, from inability to have their own religion. They were burned at the stake. Over 1,000 of them were known to be burned in England at the stake for their religious views. They were killed by the thousands by the Pope in Switzerland and Germany, and that arose. That's what caused the Protestant Church. I mean, that was the result of the rising of the Protestant Church. And these people did not come here with slaves. They did not come here with plantations. They came here to establish and eke out any kind of living they could in this land, hoping to just survive and have a family and raise it and have a future. And they put their lives on the line to be here. They put their lives on the line to establish the United States. And then they had to fight a civil war they didn't even want. They didn't ask for. So this is an ignominious, a horrible, heinous, atrocious acts by stupid people when they continually push for the removal of monuments and markers, memorial markers to these people who died and who suffered in this war. And it's true, the war was over 155 years ago, and perhaps we should all forget it, except that these people, we hear the word slavery and racism every single day and white supremacy, and so the people who won't forget it, essentially it seems to me like, are the people who are concerned with reparations against forced slavery, the people who want to take away all of our street names and our school names and anything else they think is connected to the South, and who continue to want to destroy the entire culture of the South and squash us to death. And this is not acceptable. Excuse me, but we have a life too, and we are also citizens of the United States of America. We are. And personally, I know that I never owned a slave, and neither did my parents or my grandparents or their grandparents here in North Carolina, or anybody else in North Carolina that I'm aware of owned a slave that was in my family. So I don't know. This whole thing is ridiculous. It's outrageous propaganda to stir up hatred of blacks and African-American people in America against Southern white people. And it just continues on. And I know that there are madmen like Dylann Roof who have caused this. I don't know how someone in Minnesota who's a policeman who kills George Floyd has anything whatsoever to do with memorial markers in the South to the Civil War. To me, I don't see that connection at all, period. I don't know what the connection is. The Dylann Roof man who was in Charleston, who was underage and an idiot, I can see where people might be concerned about him, but I also have seen a photograph of the Son of Sam carrying a Bible. So just because people associate themselves with a symbol and who are madmen does not mean that we are all supposed to suffer for that. They are what they are, which is madmen. I'm not a man. I didn't go shoot 9 people and never would. And nobody I know would. Okay, I just wanted to report on this tale of three cemeteries and the ignominy that the poor Confederate soldiers there have had to suffer from the very beginning. And although the people in the 1930s tried to show some respect for them, they really did. They put their names, as many as they could, on markers, and they reached out towards them, and it has nothing to do with any KKK members in Indianapolis, I'm sure. Only respectful citizens who cared. But even so, now that is to be pushed aside and said to be white racism and supremacy and neo-Nazi behavior and KKK member behavior and blah, 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 blah. It's supposed to be all of those things, which it's not. And in effect, actually, it seems to me like those who have caused this marker to be removed, or they have desecrated the dead, which I think God will take notice of. You don't desecrate the dead. So this is Miss Confederate, and we wish you a good week, and we hope that you will remember these things as you ponder how things are supposed to go in our country and what we can do to change them. I hope we can. And we'll be back with you on another podcast later on.
If I must die for my homeland, land,
my spirit will not falter.
Here's my heart and here's my hand upon my country's altar.
Upon my country's altar.
Here's my heart and here's my hand upon my country's altar.
So I'll place my knapsack on my back.